Blog Talk Radio.
All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God. All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God. Yeah. All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God. All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God.
Give your name the highest praise today. So we say hi.
Opportunity to talk about your word, Father. Tonight, family, we'll be talking about Hebrew culture. Thank you. In Yahushua's name we pray, Father. Amen.
Amen.
Welcome to Kol Elohim. I'm your brother, Ariel. We're back from last week. Wonderful time last week here with the sisters, and truly enjoyed that. You know how Yahweh has blessed them each and every time they go away on their retreat. And us men, we have learned some things, so we probably will be adding to ours. So I want to thank Abba again, always, for opening our eyes up and opening our minds up to his word and to have obedience to him. And where we shall fall short, he helps us with his word, with his spirit, like he said he sent down here to do. It will lead and guide us in all truth. So tonight we're going to just recap, because we started something about 3 weeks ago, and it was Hebrew culture. If I can jog my memory a little bit, and we're going to go over some things and jog your memory a little bit before we get into the full fullness of what Hebrew culture is. And it's a beautiful thing, though, once we find Hebrew culture. One might say, one might even ask the question, why Hebrew culture? You know, why we need Hebrew culture? Have you looked outside lately? Have you looked at this world system? You know, and it's a strange thing, especially for us here in America, and not just us here in America, but especially those who were brought over in slave ships. We seem to look towards a group of people and say they are the standard. They are the quote-unquote Joneses that we have to be up on. You know, and a lot of us have no understanding on what we need to be up on. So Hebrew culture is a must. It has to be taught, because when you look at Israel, and you look at all those who are coming into this knowledge, who understand that they're Israelites, that they've been given a disservice. And understand what I'm saying by they're given a disservice, because, yes, we have brothers out there on the streets teaching. Yes, we have people online teaching, on social media teaching, that we are true Hebrew Israelites. But if you're not teaching the culture of the people, if you're not giving them the understanding of what it is to be a true Hebrew Israelite, then you're doing a disservice to them. Why? Because you will have a brother whose mindset don't change, but he calls himself a Hebrew Israelite. He's still having this culture of the world connected to his body and connected to his thinking and connected to everything about him, and trying to be a Hebrew Israelite at the same time. It won't mesh. It won't work. It cannot mesh. Because once you walk in this way, once you come to understand that you are a Hebrew Israelite, it's something has to change. And I see all too many times our people who've been coming in this way of life trying to hold on to the old way of life. And you can be 17 years in this way and still holding on to some old ways of life. We understand that. But what I love about the way I was taught when I came into this way of life, when I remember 17 years ago, that we didn't just come to service and get a lesson.
Mm-hmm.
We was going through the Torah portion. And I searched high and low for the blacks, the quote-unquote true Hebrew Israelites. Very few congregations teach the Torah portion. Very few. And I haven't met one yet, and I'm not bragging about this one that I am in. And I thank the Creator, because I'm here in one that teaches the Torah portion, that teaches what I call the constitution of the Creator, that teaches his constitution. But very few that I see out here besides the rabbinic Jews in Judaism, they teach the Torah portion. But we, as the true Hebrew Israelites, we have such a disdain for them that we won't take nothing. And it ain't even theirs in the first place, because I don't want to get nobody. They get the, oh, Lord, we got to learn. No, because Brother Shaul, Brother James, in the book of Acts, he told them when they had an argument, if you remember the story, and later on I'll get the brother to find that, and we'll read that to you. So right now I don't have it in front of me, but I know the story. And there was an argument with Paul and Barnabas and some other Hebrew brothers. And they was arguing about circumcision. And James, being the elder at the time, the head of the church, the head of the assembly here on earth, gotta be, always give disclaimers to Hebrew Israelites, boy, because we know so much, but we don't know nothing. And that's us. And he said this was his judgment. Don't bother the Gentiles or the new believers who was coming into this way with everything. Give them four things, and we'll read that, the four things later on. He said, but this is the point of the story. Because Moses is being taught every Sabbath. So don't worry about them with trying to come in and learn everything. Don't come in this way of life and try to learn everything. Why? Because if you come in and doing what you're supposed to do, keeping the Sabbath first and foremost, you'll be taught how to live a Hebrew life, how to live the way the Creator wants us to live. So he didn't bombard the people with everything. Why? Because year in, year out, Moses is being taught. But I find that a lot of Hebrew Israelite camps, they are not teaching Torah portion. And you're doing the people a disservice. Especially if you're an elder or you're a teacher in this, what we call Hebrew Israelite walk, and you're not giving the people that. Even when again, when we first came here, that we had Bible 101. Well, so you go learn from the basics. You just can't give a child a steak and say, here, a baby, and you're going baby. You don't give them back. That's why the scripture talks about when those are weaned from the milk. And you find a lot of Hebrew Israelites who have not even gotten weaned from the milk. They want the meat of the word. They want the, what you would call the deep things of the word, and haven't even fully broken down the milk of the word. So they get out there and they bite off too much, and somebody set them down, and then they're gone. You done lost one of Yahweh's kids. Mm-hmm. Why? Because you just did a disservice with them. Because you didn't bring them in the right way and teach them the ways that he have given our forefather, Moshe or Moses, starting from the beginning. And again, everybody is uproar from what's going on in these last couple of days. And everybody, they searching and scratching for answers. The answer is the people have to go back to Sinai. That is the only answer for us as a people here in these, what we call America and the Caribbean. Those who are under the curses, those who live in poverty and ghettos, and even if you don't, if your skin is of a dark hue, and you're looking for answers and you're searching for something, you must go back to Sinai. That's where we have to take the people. Elders, the people must go back to Sinai. And don't worry about trying to break down and interpret this and interpret that. Just simply first read the word for what it is. Read it and take it for what it is. And allow the Spirit of Yahweh to guide you. Because that's what we do here. We allow the Spirit of Yahweh to move upon the leader. And when he move upon him, he move upon the other elders and tell them. And the order of Yahweh is kept. Just like he did with Moshe. Look, Moshe, that's too much. He had his father-in-law, Jethro, come to him and say, hey, you're going to kill yourself, man. You're going to wear yourself out. Yeah, you're still in here, but set up others that's under you with the Spirit of Yah. Moses set up 70 elders. And this is the beauty of it. All 70 didn't even show up at the top of the mountain when Yahweh or when Moshe commanded them to come up. But the beauty of that story is Yahweh didn't choose them then. Two was down in the camp with the rest of the people, and the Spirit still fell on them. They wasn't even present with the 68 that Moshe chose or Moshe had brought up to the mountain. See, but we have to allow the Spirit of Yahweh to choose these men. Not men choosing men. Not men getting up there having a voting system and saying, oh, this is it. No, we don't do that here in Israel. How we move is upon or with the Spirit of Yah, and that's it. If we move outside of that, we are not moving according to his will. So I love that story with those two in the camp, and the Spirit still fell on them. Why? Because Yahweh have chosen them, not Moshe. He chose them. So the spirit of prophecy still fell on them two brothers, and they wasn't even present with the other, 68. But back to Hebrew culture, friend. And I want to open up with an opening scripture. In Psalms 147, Chapter 19 and 20. He showed his word unto Jacob, his statutes and his judgment unto Israel. He have not done so with any nation. And as for his judgment, they have not known them. Hallelujah. Yah, we have chosen a group of people to give them something so they can be representatives of him in this world. So when a person says, show me the power, show me Yahweh, show me the creator, you can say, look at me. And that's why they were chosen. They were chosen to bring about a culture to this world that's not like any other culture on the face of the planet. It's not like no other culture. Standard that mankind should live by is that standard right there that Yah has given Israel. That's the standard of man. Not no light or white man, blonde hair, blue eyes, that's not the standard. But a lot of people are fooling. Let me break that down. Let me stop for a second before I get too far and somebody thinking we're screwing racism here. We're not screwing racism. We're not prejudiced here. But what we're dealing with is what the masses see. And there are a people right now on the face of the planet who is living like they are the standard. So I'm just going to speak the truth about that. But we are not racist, because if a white person wants to come and join in Beth Yahweh and he has the spirit that Yahweh has put on him, by all means he can come in. He's accepted. And he is no longer looked at as a stranger. He or she is looked at as a brother and a sister. Because that's Torah, and we teach Torah here. But we're going to tell the truth, too. There are a group of people on the face of the planet who believe that they are the standard of living. And if it don't go through them, that you are living in a low-level standard. The standard of living is what Yahweh has given Israel. That's it. If you are not living according to that, I don't care if you're purple. You are living below the standard of a human being. That is the standard of living in this earth. And who he has given this culture to, we must strive to live up to that. We must strive to live up to that standard of living. Because there's no other standard of living can compare to it. What was that old saying? Often imitated but never duplicated. That's us. That's the ways of Yahweh. Look at every religion out there. Every standing government, law, statutes, and judgment imitated, but it's not duplicated. Throughout mankind's history, they've been trying to imitate what Yah has given Israel. But they cannot duplicate it. Why? Because the one who was leading the charge, Hasatan, he's missing some points. He was there, but he's missing some things. Often imitated, but never duplicated, family. Never. You know why? You cannot duplicate the spirit of Yahweh. It has to be given to you. Why? Because it's a part of him. So it's not being duplicated, it's being multiplied. So you cannot duplicate the spirit of Yahweh. You can come close now. The scripture says you can come close. If even the very elect shall be deceived. Why? Because that spirit came close. It couldn't duplicate. Could not duplicate. Because it is authentic. You can't fake having the spirit of Yahweh. It is authentic. You will be seen. It will be saw in you that sooner or later you're a fraud. And more importantly, Yahweh himself will pull the cover off of you. He will show to the world that you are a fraud. You may not even be a fraud. You may be somebody who slipped up, and he will come and let you know that too. But we're going to go back through. We're going to do a little recap. cat family just had to get that off, you know, because we are giving our people a disservice and we're not teaching them Hebrew culture. What is Hebrew culture? You know, and we're just going to go through a few chats, through scriptures today and read where the word Hebrew was at. We're going to start off in Genesis 39:14, one of the first verses where the word Hebrew was first spoken. But if you go back to, let me see, Genesis 14:13, it would talk about Eber, you know, which is the great-great-grandfather of our forefather Abraham. And when I teach it, I like to use our forefathers. I like to connect us to our ancestors. And even if you're not a biological or descendant of the Hebrew Israelites, you will be looked at as one. Again, Yahweh said it in his Torah. Once you take on his law, statutes, and judgment, we as Hebrew Israelites should not look at that person as if they are a stranger anymore. And except the sacrifice of Yahushua or HaMashiach, we sure can't look at them like that. Because they'll be given the same spirit that we had. My glasses. Genesis 39:14, family. That she called unto me, unto the man of her house, and spake unto them, saying, see, he hath brought in a Hebrew unto us to mock us. Oh, I'm sorry, that's when Joseph, the Egyptian woman called in Joseph. That's not the first place where it mentioned that, and I got to go back. Genesis 14:13, family, that is the first place. I'll find it real quick. Yep, Genesis 14:13, that is the first place. We're talking about our forefather, Abraham. Abram at this time, before his name was changed. And there came one that had escaped and told Abram, the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Moriah, the Amorite, the brother of Eshcol, and the brother of Anah, and these were confederate with Abram. Hebrew was first spoken. The world first understood that Abraham was a Hebrew way back then, and we know and understand that Abraham is the father of our nation. He is the father. We just read in Genesis 39:14 that the Egyptian woman said that he brought in a Hebrew to mock us. We can move to Genesis 40:15. For indeed, I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews. Again, I'm going to stop right there. There was a land, wherever we migrated to, the world knew and understood that we were Hebrews. No matter who we moved around, they understood that they are Hebrews over there. So the Hebrew culture went everywhere we went. We're going to find out what the Hebrew culture is. Let's go to Jonah. Jonah 1:8-9, friend. Then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us? What is thy occupation, and whence comest thou, and what is thy country? And of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew. Again, his country, his culture. Wherever we went in this world, there was a reputation. At one time, the world knew and understood who we were as a people. Our reputation preceded us. No matter where we went, they understood us as Hebrew people. And we took that culture everywhere we went. Everywhere we went, we took that culture. But I know we lost our heritage. We lost all that. But did we really lose it? Or Yahweh just took it from us for a little while? He blinded us for a little while. You know, and a lot of people want to talk, well, Yahweh, he took that away from y'all. He gave it to us. You know, why would he take anything from us in a sense and give it to somebody else? So the Hebrews or the original would never come back because he had given us something. He had given us something that sits inside of us, inside of the loins of those men who stood at Mount Sinai. That nation that stood at Mount Sinai, something was put inside of them. So when he's like, he was that seed sower that the Yahushua talks about. When he scattered us to the four corners of the world, he understood that eventually that seed going to die, that's going to bust forth through that land, and bam, there's a heathen just grew up in the neighborhood. I mean, look at me. When I grew up around where my people were, how many understand that a child of Yah has been planted in their neighborhood? When you go to work, when you go wherever you go at, they don't understand that you were planted there. So you can show the example of who you represent. So the world won't have an excuse. And again, some of those seeds fell on stony ground. That's why you got these brothers out here cussing people out, because it didn't take root. Didn't get enough of that sun. We ain't talking about that thing up in the sky. We talking about that Ben, Yahusha. It's not getting enough of that. So it's dying, because that spirit of Yahusha is not living within it. Let me finish that out. And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear Yah, the mighty one of heaven, which have made the sea and the dry land. He had an understanding of who he was. The brothers around him had an understanding. Let me finish reading a little bit of that. Let me show you. Let me understand the reputation. They knew who this man was. Then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, why have thou done this? Why would they be afraid? Because this man said he was a Hebrew. Why all of a sudden the scripture ain't saying they just got afraid. I mean, they shaking in their bones. Then they ask him, why you do this to us? We understand who your mighty one is. We understand who you serve. Why are you doing this to us? Man, what did you do to your mighty one for him to cause havoc on us? I tell somebody that years ago, because they were being disrespectful, and I had to let them know, you don't know or understand the curses that you will bring upon yourself by disrespecting me. When we walk in that type of faith, Yahweh will move on it. And you know that person got fired. Because they didn't know and understand who they was messing with. And the world don't know and understand who we are. The culture behind us. They don't know and understand that. They don't. That's why Yahushua says, pray for them. Ask for forgiveness to him, because there is a Melakim, an angel out there who will slay them out in mercy. Without mercy. But we have to be right in what we're doing. We have to have that type of faith in Yah. What you have given me, I will show the world. I will not be ashamed to say that I am a Hebrew Israelite. That is my culture. And we know, especially me in my age, I was 30, 29, 30. I had a whole lot of Israel system in me. So it ain't something that's going to happen overnight. But what helped is going through that Torah portion, repetition, over and over again. Year in, year out, year in, year out. Those first five books, year in, year out, year in, year out. So 1 year, Yahweh said, keep on going through the whole Tanakh. And we're taken to another level. Why? Because we was weaned from the middle. So now, y'all go a little further this time. But the people are getting a disservice if they are not going through the Torah portion. If you are not teaching them the Torah portion, starting with Bereshit, Genesis 1, all the way to the last book, Deuteronomy. Repetition over and over again. And if my brothers was here, my sister was over here, every last one of them would contest and tell you that each year we have been going through those first five books, we learned something different every single year. Don't sit there and think that you're going to read Yahweh's word and it's going to be the same thing over and over again. The words may have been the same, but Yahweh was able to take his word and go deep down within it. Each year we learned something. We couldn't wait. We could not wait because we knew something after a while. You knew something new was coming out. And when we became teachers, and we got up there, we didn't even teach what the other brother taught. Y'all, I got something different for you to bring out about it. But the people are getting a disservice because they're not learning. They're not going back to Sinai. Let me finish. Then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, why hast thou done this? But the men knew that he fled from the presence of Yah because he had told them. Listen to what they say. And then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee? They asked him permission now. They are asking him permission. They understand, hey, man, we do something wrong to you, we going to get it. So what's your punishment? What do you think we should do with you right now, Jonah? You know, right now there's a whirlwind, everything is going up there because of you. So what do you think we should do with you, Jonah? How many of us are like that? Do you know we about to get reprimanded? We great walking out boss office, or we done got pulled over from the police because we done ran a light, we done ran a stop sign, and they ask you, what you think? What you think your judgment should be? Right now, give me a warning. I would love that right now. Give me a warning, you know. Next time, you know, I might let you give me a ticket. No, I'm just joking. But how about that family? That somebody will ask you what you think we should do to you. Because you're the problem right now. Jonah is the problem. But for the reverence of who he served and who his people is, they're giving him all the honor because of his mighty one. Because of his mighty one, Jonah is getting honor. And he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea become unto you. For I know that for my sake that this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land. Hold up. Before they even did that, they tried their best to get to land first. And for Jonah, say, look, man, this is my fault. I disobeyed Yahweh. Throw me over. And then stop. Throw me over. But because the honor of this brother and because of Yahweh, they tried their hardest to get to land. They didn't even want to take what he said to them first and throw him over. They tried their hardest to get this brother to land because who he served, because who he was. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land, but they could not, for the sea roared and was temperate against them. You know, Yahweh wasn't having it. He was not having it. Jonah, you're going to get this because I got a plan for you. And in fact, Jonah, you got to represent something. So they cannot get you to land because you're a part of a plan for something to come in the future. You're going to be used as an example in the future. Because when Yahushua said, look, the only sign I'm going to give you is Jonah, who was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. So shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. So Jonah, they could not get you to land. Why? Because you was going to be a sign. Yahweh used that twofold. He used that one thing right there. Twofold, because he knew and understood what his son had to do. Wherefore, they cried unto Yahweh and said, we beseech you. When you do what Yahweh wants you to do, what Yahweh shall say, if you lift me up, I will draw all men. Not just Hebrew Israelites, not just those who were called out, not just those who were sent across to do a purpose, but the strangers, the Japanese, the Chinese, whoever it is, if you do what they, Yah say, do, if you lift up Yahushua, he will draw all men, all nationalities, all tribes, all peoples. Hebrew Israelite, because there's only one true mighty one. There is only one true mighty one on the face that have created all. And they don't know him. We just read that in Psalm 147. They wasn't shown his laws, statutes, and judgments. You was. You are their light. You are the example to them. So how your character is, which is a part of the culture, will draw all men. And that's what just happened. Because at first, if you go back into the story, they said, each man, you go pray to your God. Everyone, everybody, everything is going upside down. Everybody go pray to their God. But now, who are they beseeching? Because of Jonah. They're beseeching Yahweh because they understand. Hey, that's the one. That is the creator of the heavens and earth. So let's beseech him. Bump the other gods. Because when we prayed to them, nothing happened. And this brother, we understood him. He said he was a Hebrew. He comes from the land of the Hebrews. His mighty one is the mighty one of the heavens and earth. Well, if you can't beat him, join him. And that's what them brothers did. But again, Yahushua said, if you lift me up, I will draw all men. Let your light so shine. Let your light so shine. Let me finish that one, family. Wherefore, they cried unto Yah and said, we beseech thee, O Yah, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life. And lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Yah, hast done as it pleased thee. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When we do what I would ask us to do, and we walk in that Torah and we walk in that light, we will draw all men. We will draw all men. But first we have to learn the Hebrew culture. We have to learn the ways that he has given us. We have to teach the ways that he has given us in our walk, in our actions. Even if, when you look up the word culture, it talks about beliefs, customs, a way of thinking, behaving, characteristics. And then it gets to the bottom line. And I like that in the definition of character. The bottom line. The bottom line, Hebrew Israelites, that you will become mighty one on earth. That's the bottom line. You will become mighty one on earth. That's the bottom line of culture. The culture that Yahweh has given us so we can become mighty ones on earth. That's his bottom line, Father. Because he wants us to be representatives of him. And as a nation, we are poorly represented. Poorly. We are so divided as a nation. But a lot of us say that proclamation almost three times a day when we pray. Shema Yisrael, Yahweh our mighty one, Yahweh is one, or a God. Yahweh is one. And that's a teaching within itself, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about the oneness, the unity of Yah. Everything moves in unison. His people, his children is not moving in unison right now. They're not doing that. We got some of us here that can't even keep the feast days. Some of us in this can't keep the feast days, can't keep the Torah. We just Hebrew Israelites with a worldly mindset, but we Hebrew Israelites. We jumping on the bandwagon. Or we come to find out who we are and we're not searching out who we truly are. Or getting rid of what we already had within us. And that's what the Torah portion would do. That's what learning Yahweh's ways will do. I remember when I first came, and this is years, about 16 years ago, and I didn't know nothing about the Sabbath, honestly. I'm playing football, and you know, football was on Saturday. I used to play for flag football league, and I would go. I'm thinking it's regular church, honestly. You know, hey, you can do whatever you want in church, and you still, if you get, as long as you get there, that's the mindset of most church people. You can go out night before and party, and don't make it home and come from the party straight to church, but you go in there and say a few hallelujahs and amen, and put a little bit of money in the prime to come around collection plate. And you did your due. You felt good. Hey, man, I went to church. I don't care what I did last night. I went to church. I felt good about myself. You know, because I did something. Not knowing that. That's not Yahweh's way. No. No, not at all. That wasn't the Sabbath. And a sister told me about, I forgot his name, Brother Jesse's wife, mother, matter of fact. One of his wife is Brother Jesse's mother. So I know somebody who listened. Oh, yeah, I remember that sister.
Gloria.
Sister Gloria. You don't hold to go play no football before you come to service? What? Ain't nobody tell me that. And sure enough, Brother Harvell said something to Rabbi, and Rabbi, after his Torah portion, he wrote out. Anybody got any questions about the Sabbath? And you know, I was there, I was new, so I didn't raise my hand. And anybody? I was like, hey, well, I talked to Brother Sean at that time, and he explained some things. He said, well, let me go through some things. And he went through, which a great teacher would do, because as he's the leader of the flock, he don't want nobody out there living outside of what Yahweh teaches. So if he, anytime he get a chance, hey, brother, let me sit you down. Let me stop what I'm doing and so you can understand. Because Yahweh don't want you to be ignorant. And at that time, I was ignorant. And today, you have a lot of people, they're ignorant to what the Torah teaches. But we claim the Hebrew Israelites. You can't be ignorant to what the Torah teaches and claim to be a Hebrew Israelite. Something has to give. Your walk going to look faulty. It's going to look out of order. And when you get questioned, you're going to look crazy. Then you're going to go, oh, well, I'm not in the truth. What them brothers was claiming all that time, they was in the truth. Somebody questioned me, and I didn't have an answer. One, your spiritual leader who you sat under did you a disservice. Did not teach you to apart. Two, you did yourself a disservice because you not studying for yourself. Because the scripture didn't say that. Study to show thyself approved. And then all that you study, you better have that written down and taking it to your spiritual leader. And one beautiful thing that I love about my spiritual leader, in fact, I only had two in my life.
Amen.
That's it. The two that I came in with. That they will stop service and take a half hour and break something down if you ask the question. That was unheard of going into an assembly or church. You don't ask the minister no questions. And that was what, you got any questions? I'm looking at like questions. Who won't ask a question? We in church, don't nobody ask questions in church. And people was asking questions, so I was amazed. And the one that you wanted to ask, somebody normally asks that. Why? Because y'all, we know what's on your mind. So he ended up having somebody else who have the same question or the same thought to ask it, and your question got answered. But that's service. That's coming to service week in and week out. That's understanding that I need the Torah portion be inside me. And one thing, when you do read, this is what how I was taught. When you do, if you just put it there, put it inside your mind, meditate on it, Yahweh will bring understanding to you. Or Yahweh will bring it back to your memory, to the front of your memory, because we don't forget nothing. We just don't have total recall, which some people in the world do, but for the most of us, we don't have total recall. And when we need a scripture out of Numbers, Leviticus, but we've read it, Yahweh is in there, Yahweh is able to bring it out whenever he wants. Let's move on, family. Three more scriptures in talking to Philippians 3:5, family. Talking about these Hebrews. And this is Brother Shaul who's giving this credentials, you know. He laying it down on. He had to lay it down on the Philippians. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews. As touching the law, a Pharisee. So, Brother Shaul, understand, I am a Hebrew of Hebrews. And you know, that's the second time we have Israel and Hebrew in the same sentence. They understood who they were. They understood their culture. Especially brothers like Shaul. They understood that. The apostles were looking. Israel at that time was looking for what we would call the prophet. They were looking for that promised one. They were looking for HaMashiach, the Messiah. Unfortunately, some Israel is still looking for the prophet, HaMashiach, the promised one. They are still looking for that one that in Deuteronomy 18, I believe 18:18, that he said he's going to rise up a prophet or a brother just like you, Moshe. They're still looking for that one. Unfortunately, that one has came already. Yahushua or HaMashiach, that prophet, that promised one, HaMashiach has already came. But the point in that is they were looking. They had understanding that that Messiah was promised to them. Because we are the Hebrews. And like unto what, brethren? The Hebrews. That's what he was promised to. You know, the Muslims try to say that was Muhammad, which, you know, is so off. And how in the world are you going to believe? You know why? Because Isaac and Ishmael were brothers. So they take it all the way back there. Well, okay. Isaac, I don't remember him bringing the people out of sin. I don't remember him being given the Torah or having a law. Yahushua, he brought the people out of sin. And if you're still waiting for him to come, hey, you better get with a brother who already knows. Because you're going to be in a bad situation when he cracked that sky and you're still waiting for him. You thinking that's his first coming. You're going to be in a bad situation. 2 Corinthians 11:22, family. And I like this one too. I love this one. And this again, Brother Shaul, Brother Paul. And this is the funny thing about those who call themselves Christians or anybody who's just a New Testament believer and believer that the Christians is the light now and the Hebrews or the Israelites is done away with because of Brother Paul's writing. But when you go back and read and understand Brother Paul, Brother Shaul's writing, that he defended the Israelites every chance he got. He defended them. He upheld that culture that they were given. He knew and understood that ain't given to nobody else. That wasn't taken from them and given to somebody else. He had to break that down in Romans 11. Look, you Romans running around here thinking that y'all are the new thing. No, sir. Get your minds right. Y'all ain't the new thing. They was blinded. You were grafted in to Israel. They was cut off. Majority of them was cut off, so you can be grafted in. But hey, when enough of y'all Gentiles get inside this nation, he's going to turn back to Israel. Because he only taken a number of y'all. And once that number come up, as the scriptures say, don't take my word. Go back and read it for yourself in Romans 11. it talks about two olive trees, two trees. One branch, one being wild, and one is tame, has a husbandman. Some of y'all is the husbandman. And the tame one, the one with the husband, that branch was breaking off. So some of the branches of the wild olive tree was breaking off, but it was grafted into the tame olive tree. Until a number is fulfilled. And y'all, he's the only one that knows that number. And when that number is fulfilled, bam, I got to turn back to my people. I got to turn back to my people. In another scripture, I don't know if it's in Galatians or Ephesians, it talks about tearing down the middle wall of partition, that you are no longer afar off of the commonwealth of Israel. Now you are brought nigh by the blood of Mashiach, of Messiah. Messiah was the one that opened up that door so the Gentile nations as a whole, hey, y'all come on in Israel now. Y'all come and be a part of us now. Come on in. Come on in. You ain't got to worry about it. Come on in. Sit down and learn. Sit down and learn. And even with that 144,000, they are or will be natural born Israelites to teach the everlasting gospel to the world. It ain't no hard feelings against y'all Gentiles, but me as a father, you know, I would want to see my kids teach mine first. You know, that's just me as a father. Not saying I don't love them if I had stepkids. I do love them. I want to give that to my natural born, to my blood, to my blood. So that 144, they will be natural born Israelites. Again, often imitated but never duplicated. You've got everybody out here talking about the part of the 144,000. But you're not. That is for the natural born Israelites. So us who are natural born Israelites and are chosen to be a part of that 144,000, we need to learn our Hebrew culture. We need to learn what Yah want us to do. And you know, again, let's move on because we have three more scriptures. Let's go to Isaiah 55. Let's see what Isaiah had to say about this. Why Hebrew culture? Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. And this goes with our opening scripture that Yahweh had to do some openings on. 8. Bear with me, I'm getting there. Isaiah 55, 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways, neither are your ways my ways, saith Yahweh. So he had to give them to us. That's why we talked about it earlier, that no person or whatever you call yourself on this planet can set up a standing of living compared to the Most High. He has to give you that. You have no standing. You are a created being. You are his creation. So how in the world is you going to think your standard of living is higher than his or equal to his? Because we have a lot of people here in this earth that has a God complex and managed to look up to me. And the worst part is even some of the leaders of the camps. When you ought to be the most humblest, the most meekest, you are the servant of the people. If Yahushua said he came to serve and not to be served, follow that example. You ought to be the most meekest. But we want accolades. They did it. It's no different than they did in Yahushua days. So they brought in their phylacteries, the borders of their garments. They walked around with fringes down to the kneecap. I mean, to the ankles, from the waist to the ankles. Walking around with high heads, heads up in the air. One of the chief seats in the synagogue. So human nature is still human nature. Ain't nothing changed. But the light of Yahushua will be even known. He said, I didn't come to be served, but to serve. You know, there were some brothers arguing out the 12. You know, who will be the first? Who will be the first? He said, which one are you the least? You want to be the first? Be the least. Huh? You're scratching your head with that one. I'm like, what? How's that? How that work? If I want to be first, I got to become the least. So Yah said, you know what? I'm going to take a whole nation and show y'all that concept. You'll get that later. Pray about that one. Yah will show you that. 9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So Yah had to teach us his thoughts, because he comes to an understanding about man's thoughts. And this is what he said about man's thoughts. Let's go back down to Bereshit, Genesis. Genesis 6:5. Matter of fact, let me read. I can read this one. I stay with that. I thought I missed the scripture, but I got this one. Genesis 6:5, family. And Yah saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. Does the word of Yah lie? No. This was the days before or during Noah building the ark. How worse off you think man is now? Thousands of years later. We get any better as a race of people, because we all the human race. We all one human being. There's only one race of people. Regardless of how man try to spin it, we're only one race of people. Has man gotten any better? Let me lay some wicked things out. I saw on the post. That a woman wants to marry a tree. She makes love. Now, this shows it. This is proven. Matter of fact, go Google woman in tree. It might pop up. She makes, call the tree Tim. Matter of fact, she gets butt naked in the frost and said this tree fulfills her better than any man. I say, my. Hey, you bad. When you can have a woman to say she can have intercourse better with a tree than a man, you're a bad boy, Satan. The wickedness that you put inside of people, you are bad. Here it is, you got another group of people out here who want to be animals, dresses up as animals, dogs and cats. And people walk them as if they're animals. They want to imitate an animal. I say, my goodness. Now, we ain't talking about homosexual, because we know we always bring the homos. That's one part of the spectrum. But when a person wants to be an animal, when you got to go as far as having a bowl, and somebody got to walk you and put on a whole dog outfit, you bad. Let alone a man want to lay down with another man. A man want to be a dove. A woman want to be a dove.
Yeah, you know, that's that Baltimore accent. I know y'all crossing. Doug, what's that? I can hear my wife now. It's dog. Yeah, when we hear, we say Doug. A cat. The wickedness of man. But, and when I saw women marrying the ocean. The ocean. And she says, this one, the tree lady, she want to get married to the tree. The perversions that's going to happen. Look at what they did with homosexuality. Look at that as Pandora's box, and something will open. Pandora's box is a box with a whole lot of calamities, and whatever is in this box has the power to destroy the earth gradually. As the plagues and whatever in it comes out, it eventually will destroy the whole earth. So that's why it's in the don't open Pandora's box. So that's what happened with homosexuality when they passed that law. So what's to say that woman, you can't stop her. She says she loves the tree. She's happy with the tree. So if I got to respect a man tomorrow to say that, you know what, I feel like I'm a woman today, and you have to respect that. The law states that we have to respect that. It's Big John. Tomorrow going to be called Duchess. I have to respect and call him Duchess. No, I'm not going to be calling him no Duchess, but he can go ahead with that. Amen. And the worst part is me being a believer will lose my job if I didn't give that person a reason. See how wicked that is? I got to lose my job because today he's Big John and tomorrow he's Duchess. I got to respect that, so I got to lose my job. Yahweh say lose your job when you do what's right. But the wickedness of this world, Yahweh said man's thoughts is continually evil. So in this evil generation, this evil world system, I have to set something up in it. I have to put something smack dead in the midst of it. And I have to choose those that I have sent down and pull them up out of there. And I'm sorry, y'all, that I sent y'all down in that mix. But I need y'all to do a favor for me, because I got challenged by that adversary. By my creation, I got challenged. So I'm going to take something a little lower than him and overthrow his kingdom. So you won't have to bear what you go through. You won't have to understand that I set you up, and you will have to stand on what I have given you. And if you stand on what I have given you, you will prevail. And that's ours. Because he is set up in the midst of this perverse world. And he needs that culture of his. Hebrew culture is the ways of Yah. That's all it is. But we're going to go through some things. Eventually, we will get through some things due to beliefs, the customs, a way of thinking, behaving, the characteristics, and the bottom line. But let me go to Jeremiah 29, family, and I think that was the scripture I missed. Let me see. I shouldn't have missed that one. Let me find it. Jeremiah 29:11. Because Yah, he has a way for us. He said his ways are not our ways. His thoughts is higher than our thoughts. But our thoughts is continuing evil. So what is your ways, Father? What is your thoughts? For I know, Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith Yahweh. Thoughts of peace, and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Again, bottom line. Bottom line. That's what he's done. An expected end. You want peace? You want eternal life? Do what I ask you to do. Do what I ask you to do. And when you fall short, because I know you're trying, I done already sent my son to do a work for you. One more scripture, family, and that is Deuteronomy 4, 1 through 40, family. 1 through 40. You're going to end up in the Torah. What are you talking about? Those cultures, the Hebrew culture. Because Yah has, he has given us a way of life. And not for us to be selfish with this way of life and take it and hide it. So we can share this way of life. We can share this culture. Because he wants to draw all men. He wants to bring people in. You know, and one of the I saw something today, which I felt proud about to see it. Because there was some group of young guys down in Girl Park, three of them, and had to be between the ages of 12 and 14. But the oldest dude, he had to be about 14. And all three of them, the oldest one was practicing drills. You know, he was showing them what to do because you could see that he had a little more skills than the other two. You could see where they wasn't very skillful playing basketball. And I looked at that and I was amazed because there was no adult out there trying to teach these young kids. It was just that one young child, 14-year-old brother or whatever his age, he could have been younger, teaching the other younger brother whose skills was not where his was. But they wanted their skills because they ran like 6-7 drills. And I watched them for about an hour. And they did everything he asked them to do because they wanted to learn. And that goes with what Yahweh has given his people. He's given his people a skill to move through this life. And not for us to keep it to ourselves, but for us to teach the world, those who want to learn, those who are not skillful in the word. And if you want to learn, you have an ear to learn. He has given teachers, prophets, evangelists, for the edification of the, I didn't finish that scripture, I know I did, but it's for the edification of the body of the Messiah. If they want to learn. And that's what I saw in those three young boys today. Especially the oldest one. Deuteronomy 4, 1, friend, I'm going to read it out. 1 through 40. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you. What he teaching us? His way. We know this Moshe is teaching, talking though, but who told Moshe? Yah. Who gave Moshe these ways? Yah. For to do them, that you may live and go into and possess the land which Yahweh, your Elohim, Yahweh Elohim of your father, giving you. You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of Yah, your Elohim, which I command you. And again, family, we cannot add to Yahweh's word. You got to egg on your Seder plate, you got to ask why. When you go back and read in Exodus, account, the first Passover account. I don't remember no eggs around here. I don't remember. You doing something you don't supposed to be doing? You adding something to it? You have to ask yourself, where did that come from? 3. Your eyes have seen what Yahweh did because of Baal Peor. For all the men that follow Baal Peor, Yahweh, thy mighty one, hath destroyed them from among you. But ye that did cleave unto Yahweh, your mighty one, are alive, every one of you, this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as Yahweh, my mighty one, commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whether you go to possess it. That means where we know it's first talking about the promised land. But wherever you at in this world system, wherever Yahweh has scattered Israel, we should be keeping his law, statutes, and judgments. Why? Because we have to show the world the correct way to live. The standard of a man that he should live by is the standard of Yah, what he has given Israel. That is the standard of living right there. Not because a man has a Bentley or a big house, which means nothing. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. This is our wisdom, family. This is our wisdom, what he has given us. He has given us a part of him. For what nation is there so great who have power so near unto them as Yahweh, our power, is in all things that we call upon him for? He mostly asks him a question. Name another nation that is like you, Israel. Now, you have to know and understand why that all the other nations hate you. But they don't understand that you have the one true power of heaven and earth, and you don't even want that. You have what everybody else wants, and you don't even want that. See, and what nation is there so great that have statutes and judgments so righteous as this law, which I set before you this day? I mean, often imitated, but never duplicated. Why do all nations of the planet of the earth have laws, statutes, and judgments? Why? Where did you get that from? They got it from you, from what Yah gave you. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons, especially the day that thou stoodest before Yahweh, thy mighty one in Horeb, when Yahweh said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my word, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. And you came near and stood under the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire unto the midst of heaven, with darkness, cloud, and thick darkness. Again, when we talked about earlier, that the spirit was in the loins of our forefathers. Why? Because what we're reading now, that happened. They stood at the Mount of Horeb. And Yahweh spake unto you out of the midst of the fire. You heard the voice of the words, but saw no similitude. Only you heard it. And that is the beautiful thing about Charles, about us Israel. We don't have no eyesight in the sense of, I'm going to be able to look up in the sky and see something so I can go and worship that. Like all the other nations, they had an idol. What? You have to ask the question, wait, Yahweh, why you didn't give us no idol? Why? Because he knows man's heart. He knows our heart. Soon we saw something, that's Yahweh. We would have built it. We would have carved it up and built it. So he said, yes, you don't know how y'all will worship me? In spirit and in truth. That's how you're going to worship me. You can't worship me no other way. I will not allow it. 13. And he declared unto his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even the Ten Commandments, and he wrote them upon the tablets of stone. And Yahweh commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments, that you might do them in the land, whether you go over to possess it. And who was Moshe at that time? Moshe is the leader. So the leaders of these congregations should be doing what? Teaching Yahweh's commandments and statutes. So wherever you go at, it will do you well. You will seem wise to other nations. Why? Because you're learning something that they have no clue of. Take heed, therefore, good heed unto yourself, for you saw no manner of similitude on the day that Yahweh spake unto you in Horeb, out of the midst of fire, lest you corrupt yourself. He knew. Lest you corrupt yourself and make you engraven image, the similitude of any, the likeness of a male or female, the likeness of any beast that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl and that flyeth in the air, the likeness of anything that creepeth on the ground, the likeness of a fish that is in the waters beneath the earth. And lest thou lift up thy eyes unto the heaven, and when thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars, even the host of heaven, and shouldest be driven to worship them and serve them. Which, let me stop right there. I'm going to Yahweh. You can't compare nothing to him. All these other, quote unquote, mighty ones or gods in the minds of men, they have something to compare with. It's something there that says, this is my mighty one. This is my God. You can't, he said, don't you compare me to nothing. Don't you come up in your own imagination and try to compare me with nothing. Because you can't. The only way you're going to know about me is I tell you. That's it. I have to give you that understanding. Ain't no rock that you didn't make for yourself, carved up, and put it up on our pedestal and bow down and pray to it and give you understanding of me. Matter of fact, in Jeremiah, he joked us about that. He joked people, men, about that. Making that. They said, hold up, look. You done made something that you had power over it. You got to carry around in your hands. He joked Israel about that. Because why? We were foolish. And we worshiped gods of wood and stone. And we worshiped statues and idols. So he had to come back and joke us about it. 19. Which Yahweh, thy mighty one, has divided unto all nations under the whole heaven. But Yahweh has taken you and brought you forth out of an iron furnace, even out of Mizraim, Egypt, to be unto him a people of an inheritance, as you are this day. And that's what we are today, fam. We steal that inheritance of Yah. We have to show forth what that inheritance is, the culture of Yahweh, that Hebrew culture, which like no other culture on the face of the planet. None. And we don't call it Yahweh's culture because he gave the name Hebrews. He gave us that. That's another teaching that we're not going to get into that. Furthermore, Yahweh was angry with me for your sake and saw that I should not go over Jordan. This brother Moshe talking when he did something that he wasn't supposed to do. And that I should not go into that good land which Yahweh, thy mighty one, giveth thee for an inheritance. But I must die in the land. I must not go over Jordan, but ye shall go over and possess that good land. Take heed unto yourself, lest you forget the covenant of Yahweh, your mighty one, which he made with you, and make you a graven image or like or the likeness of anything which Yahweh thy mighty one has forbidden you. For Yahweh thy mighty one is a consuming fire, even a jealous mighty one. Now we shall understand some things. When thou shalt beget children and children's children, and you shall have remained long in the land, and shall corrupt yourself and make a graven image or the likeness of anything and do evil in the sight of Yahweh, thy mighty one, to provoke him to anger, Now we have to look out in the world today, and it's an upcry right now because we feel as though Black Lives Matter. We feel as though that we are getting the short end of the stick as a people on the planet of the earth. We ain't getting justice. We ain't getting justice. You can't get justice. You know why? Because you denied justice. You denied being the justice of the law. You denied what Yahweh given you. And the same thing with what I'm about to read, Moshe called against you. They haven't gone nowhere. They're still up there. So it's still witnessing against you. Let me read it. I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day, that you shall soon utterly perish from the land wherefore unto you go over Jordan to possess it. It shall not prolong your days upon it, but shall utterly be destroyed. Heaven and earth is still here. So they are still witnessing against us. Ah, but they're still hard-headed. They still ain't doing what you said to do. They still not keeping your law, statutes, and judgment of days. Well, back in the iron furnace they go. We ain't going to get justice here. We're not going to get, not here. What we must do as a nation of people, turn back to Yahweh.
Amen.
Go back to Sinai. That's the only thing that's going to give us justice. 27. And Yahweh shall scatter you among the nations, and ye shall be left few in numbers among the heathen, whether Yahweh shall lead you. You know, it's not Yahweh word true. Look at us today. We are left few in numbers among the heathen. And don't just look at the white man as a heathen. You know, everybody outside of Yahweh's word is a heathen. You are a heathen. Even if you consider yourself in the Hebrew Israelite, but you're out there screaming and cussing at people and not walking in the spirit of Yah, you are a heathen too. You're just pretending that you're something you're not. And there shall serve God the works of men's hand, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. You got a there's humor in Yahweh. You gonna serve my one? Look, I told y'all not to do it, but y'all going to do it anyway. I know y'all nature. Remember we talked about the thoughts of man is continually evil. Yahweh came to the understanding. 29. But if from this thou shalt speak Yahweh thy mighty one, thou shalt find him. If thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy mercy. He's that prodigal son father. He's waiting for you, Hebrew Israelites, to turn back to him. We want justice. We have to turn back to him. You want peace? We have to turn back to him. When thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter day, if thou turn to Yah, thy mighty one, and thou shalt be and shall be obedient unto his voice. We are in the latter days, family. For Yahweh, thy mighty one, is a merciful ever, mighty one. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he swore unto them. For as now of the days that are past, which were before thee, since the day that Yah created man upon the earth, and acts from the one side of heaven unto the other side, whether there has been any such thing as this great thing, is or have been heard like it. Did ever a people hear the voice of Yah speaking out of the midst of the fight as thou hast heard and lived? Hallelujah. Or have Yah assayed to go and take him a nation from the midst of another nation by temptations, by signs, and by wonders, and by war, and by a mighty hand, and by a stretched out arm, and by great terrors, according to all that Yahweh, your mighty one, did for you in Egypt, before your eyes. Unto thee it was shown, that thou mightest know that Yahweh, he is power. There is none else besides him. Out of the heaven he made thee to hear his voice, that he might instruct thee, and upon the earth he showed thee his great fight. And thou heardest his words out of the midst of the fight. And because he loved thy fathers, therefore he chose their seed after them, and brought thee out in his sight with his mighty power out of Egypt, to drive out nations from before thee, greater and mightier than thou art, to bring thee to give thee their land for an inheritance, as it is this day, even to this day, that our land family. Now therefore this day, and know therefore this day, and consider in thy heart that Yahweh, he is power, in heaven above and upon the earth beneath. There is none else. Thou shalt keep therefore his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee this day, that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee, and that thou mayest prolong the days upon the earth which Yahweh thy power gives thee forever. Hebrew culture family, Yahweh has given us something. Let us walk in. I want to thank y'all for joining me tonight, and I'll see y'all next week. Shalom, family.
Because you have rejected his name.